Good morning. I pulled in and my car told me it was 2 degrees outside. I'll be honest with you, for a moment I went, I'm not getting out of this car. real quick, before I start, a little personal note. If we could lift up my family in prayer, I just found out yesterday that on Friday, my mom fell, I think in the shower, and broke her arm. And they're finding out today whether or not she's going to need surgery or not to repair it. So it's one of those things where it's like, what a way to end the year. So with that, and like I said, her birthday was on Monday, on Christmas. And so it's just, they're having a little bit of a rough end of the year. So you can just keep them in prayer. And with that, it's one of those things where we wish you could help them, but when they're in Georgia, we kind of just have to be like, we're praying. That's all we can. So we appreciate it. If you could just keep in mind. Her name's Diana, if that helps. Okay. Excuse me. So one of my favorite shows is a show called Doctor Who. See, you guys give a response. The first service, I had no idea what I was talking about. For those of you who don't know what it is, Doctor Who is a science fiction show that actually first aired in 1963. To give some context, it features an alien called a Time Lord who calls himself the Doctor. And with the use of calls it a TARDIS, the Doctor is able to travel through space and time and is always on a mission to save the universe. And other than a hiatus from about 89 to 2005, Doctor Who has been around for over 54 years and has basically been like a cultural phenomenon. You know, maybe not here as much, but across the pond. It's a BBC show. And now I know a lot of you right now are realizing that I am a giant nerd. There it is. So if you didn't know that already, let's be honest. I mean, if you follow my wife on Facebook, she did post me reading the scroll to Star Wars out loud. I do that every time. So, but bear with me a little bit. So the way a show has been able to have one character for over half a century is by having the Doctor go through various transformations or regenerations. And it's how they're able to explain all the different actors who play this one character. And each new iteration of the Doctor comes with a new body, a new personality, and actually most recently, a whole new gender. For the longest time, it's been a guy who played the character, and now we have our first female Doctor. So why in the world am I talking about this, other than just to tell you that I'm a nerd? Well, what this show, what this process kind of does is it epitomizes our mindset this time of year. People tend to use the new year as a reset button for their lives. They make a bunch of promises, they make a bunch of resolutions about how they're going to be better from now on. They say to themselves, today I'm this person, but tomorrow I'm going to be that person. And they feel, it's like this one, the moment the ball drops, I'm a new person. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to start doing this, and I'm going to do that. And resolutions become the biggest thing this time of year. So what I did is I actually looked into the most common New Year's resolutions that people have all over the world, and I was able to break them down into three categories. We have break bad habits, start good habits, and learn something new. So this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look into those three kinds of resolutions, and we're going to try to understand how we can accomplish those goals this in the coming year, but we're going to do so biblically, using the Bible, using God, and allowing us to actually make a change instead of saying we're going to make a change. I think they say most resolutions are broken by like February. It's pretty bad for a year that I'm pretty sure is more than just a month, right? But before we do that, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for this time that we have together as a church body. And I lift up those who are either at home or traveling, Lord. I just pray they stay safe, that they stay warm. And as we get ready for a new year, Lord, we just thank you for the blessings that you've given us this past year, and as we look forward. And in your name we pray, amen. Excuse me. So, the first one, breaking bad habits. A lot of times this would include spending less time on social media, drinking less, stop smoking, you know, a lot of just the bad stuff. And scripture points us towards actually a few different ways to help us quit our bad habits. So the first one I found is just being able to confess what our bad habits are. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." You know, they always say the first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem. If you're not able to say, "I have a problem," you're not going to be able to fix what's going on. Denying that there is something wrong or that you have a problem can become a large part of what then goes on to become an addiction. And unfortunately, most people seem to need to reach rock bottom before they even realize that they need to do something about what they're doing. This can be different for different people. It can be just realizing that, you know, I'm neglecting this or I'm neglecting that. Or it could be while you're sitting in a jail cell one day, realizing, I can't go any lower than this. But fortunately, we have a God who remains faithful to us and wants to help us in our times of need. We just need to be willing to not only confess to ourselves what we're struggling with, but we also need to be willing to confess to God, especially when that addiction or that bad habit is a sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God will see us through the hard times. We just need to be willing to turn to him for the help. Another way, avoid temptation. Matthew 5:29 says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell." So when I was in college, a bunch of the guys in our dorm room decided that we were going to watch Fireproof. Woo! Party on, college atmosphere. Bunch of us guys are getting together, and we are going to watch a movie about marriage. Kind of a little insight into the Cedarville University atmosphere. Yeah, we were wild. Anyway, if you've not seen Fireproof, what it is basically is it's a story of a married couple who's struggling in their marriage. Everything seems to be going wrong. They're fighting all the time. And they realize they can't do it on their own. And at one point, you notice that the husband, it kind of subtly shows that the husband struggles with online pornography. Well, one scene that kind of grabbed the attention of all the guys that were watching this was at one point he looks at his computer, and then they shoot to him being outside carrying his computer and just throwing it in the trash. He realized that he needed to remove any aspect of temptation from his life if he was ever going to get past what he was struggling with. So it took him throwing in the trash. Now, on a side note, you know, research has shown that there are actually four different things that can increase our temptations. And when we think about them, they spell out the word halt. You have hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Sometimes when we're struggling, when we feel like there's just something grabbing onto us and pushing us towards this thing that we know we're not supposed to do, we have to ask ourselves, am I just hungry? Do I need to eat something? Do I need to just calm down? Do I need to find a friend to talk to? Or do I just need to take a nap? Go to bed. Think about that before we just do something dumb. So while you may not need to go to the extreme of chopping off an arm or gouging out an eye or even throwing away your computer, it is important that we recognize what tempts us and remove those things from our lives. The third way breaking bad habits is find community. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." We are not meant to go through life alone, especially when it comes to our walk with God. You know, we call this lone wolf Christianity, which is weird because wolves don't travel alone. There was a video that I saw. I meant to find it. I just couldn't find it, so you have to forgive me. I'm going to try my best to explain it. And if I do a bad job, I'll try to find it and we'll show it another time. But during the spring and summer, it is easy for a wolf to live alone if they were to choose to. Small animals are running everywhere, and the weather makes finding shelter easy. So the food source is plentiful. It's nice outside, so they don't have to worry about trying to stay warm. But when winter hits and the snow starts to fall and there's ice everywhere, that's those small animals that are running around are now in hibernation. They're not easy to find. And that shelter that was so plentiful before is now snow and ice and cold. And the only food source that is around are animals that are about three times bigger than they are. Bears. Things like that. But a pack of wolves, a group of wolves, is able to take down that big prey. A pack of wolves is able to find a place and be together and keep each other warm. They are able to make sure that they avoid the freezing cold just by being together. And it's similar with us. During the great times of life, during times when things seem to be going awesome, being by yourself is easy. It's easy to be alone when things are going great. But when we hit the rough patches, when we hit the winter, when things start to just get hard, we need to understand that without the help from others, we are in great danger of failure. That is when we fall. So, in the end, bad habits just seem to be another way of saying addiction, and addiction is another way of saying idolatry. Idolatry is placing more importance on want something than you would put on God. It's putting more time into something than you would ever choose to put in God. And most bad habits are created because at some point in our lives, we chose to place things ahead of what is most important, and that is God. Second thing. Start good habits. This would include traveling, eating better, exercising more, just making life better. James Clear, who is a behavioral psychologist, explains that all habits, good and bad, follow a simple pattern: reminder, routine, and reward. He calls them the three R's. A reminder is a trigger that starts the habit. Routine is the action that you take or the habit itself, and reward is the benefit you gain from the habit. So an example he uses is a phone call. The phone rings, that's your reminder. You answer the phone, that's your routine, and you find out who is calling, that's your reward. And if the reward is positive, you're more likely to do the routine again. And if you do it over and over, at some point, it becomes a habit. When I initially looked into this, it sounded like a great concept. It makes sense. But as I kind of thought about it more, I realized, like, there's some, like, warning signs that come along with that that we need to be on the lookout for. First one is, we need to be willing to determine what the greater reward is. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Take an organization like Habitat for Humanity. They get volunteers from all over to build houses for people who get struck by disaster, repair homes and things like that. Now, it would be very easy to say to someone who's working hard that the reward of that is Getting sweaty, getting stinky, and getting sore were the three S's. And that in itself would create a negative reward, thus wanting them to not want to do it again. But instead, we should be willing to take time to understand the potential of our actions and discover what the real reward is, what the greater reward is, and that's providing a home for those in need and doing the Lord's work. You know, as Matthew 25:40 says, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." The other warning is bewaring instant gratification. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." The reward we were meant to receive from God will be given to us in His time, not our time. Now, sometimes that could be instant. You could get that reward, bam! But sometimes it could take days, it could take weeks, months, years. At some point, we may not even get to experience the fruits of our labor at all. That doesn't mean we will not be rewarded. There's a saying in youth ministry that I have to remind myself every once in a while. It says, "We are planting trees in whose shade we may never sit, nor fruit we will eat." We may not get to see the benefits of our actions, but that does not mean that they are not there. So James Clear goes on to explain the importance of making sure that the reminder that you have, that first R, corresponds with a regular activity that you do every day. So like waking up, taking a shower, eating. Let's use the example of reading scripture every day as a good habit. I've found it's a great way to start my day. So what I do is I try to read a passage or a verse kind of right after I wake up. I have my phone next to my bed. I try to open up the Bible app first. Sometimes I fail. But I try. I keep my devotional next to my bed. And I found that it's when I remember to do that and I make that my habit, my day starts better. So I use waking up as the reminder to the routine that I follow of reading scripture. Another one is trying to remember to thank God for what I have and my family. So we already pray before dinner. Usually Sophie prays for us before dinner. But when she's not in the mood, it usually falls on Daddy. But by sitting there, I'm reminded of them because they're in front of me. And I make sure to take that time to thank God for them. I thank God for the food that I'm eating. But I want to make sure that I use that time as a reminder to thank God for what I have. And that includes my family. See, starting a good habit isn't too hard when you think about it. Really, what it requires is understanding that God is our reward. Patience is key. And to be on the lookout for ways to keep God first in all that we do. All right, third one, learning something new. So now usually this would include learning a new language, learning a new skill like playing guitar or something like that, or just general knowledge, just wanting to know more stuff. And we are shown many times in scripture the importance of learning and knowledge and wisdom, you know, especially when we look in the book of Proverbs. You know, Proverbs 1:5. "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." Proverbs 9:9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning." Proverbs 18:15, "An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." This probably goes without saying, seeing as how we are in a church, and you are here to, I would hope, learn. But while it is important to have knowledge of things of the world and important to know things that are going on around us, it's of greater importance that we learn more about this than what just fell out of my Bible. But this is most important. It's fine to know more stuff, but focus on this. And if you're unsure of how to go about that, if you're unsure of how to study the Bible, and you know, let me help you. Let me just help you. First step you need to do is make time. Just make time. Not too long ago, I was talking to the high schoolers, and we broke down what a typical school day looks like for a high school student. We wrote on the board, and we kind of broke it down. And I want to kind of give you some perspective of what that looks like. So they're supposed to get 8 hours of sleep, it's, you know, doctor says. They're in school for 7 hours. We're all supposed to exercise 1 hour a day. They have about 1.5 hours of eating food, 3 hours of extracurricular, so that's sports, band, plays, things like that. 1 hour to get ready for the day, and about 2 hours of homework every day. So that equals 23.5 hours in a 24-hour day. So that's 30 minutes that they get for themselves, basically. And that's if they don't work that day, because a lot of these kids have jobs, too. And I would encourage you to break down your day in a similar way. I know most of you here aren't in high school, but, you know, we get busy. Work, family, life in general, we get busy. So I'd encourage you to try to break it down in your day too. But what I said to them was, you have 30 minutes. What I want you to do is take 10. Take 10 minutes and give it to God. 10 minutes. Spend it in the Word. Spend it in prayer. Spend it in meditation. But to spend it with God. And the big part of that was, fight for those 10 minutes. Because if you don't fight for those 10 minutes, if you don't cling to it like it's the most precious thing in the world, you're going to release it and it's going to get absorbed into something else. It's going to get absorbed into homework. It'll get absorbed into sports, TV, video games, hanging out with friends. It'll get absorbed into something. If you don't cling to it, it's going to be gone. We have to fight for it. It's not about finding the time. It's about making the time. Making it a priority. Because if you don't do that, if you don't keep it, you're not going to find it. Other thing is study. Study, 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 study. I encourage devotionals. They can be good at not only teaching a valuable lesson, but they are able to use scripture that's relevant to what's happening, and they can guide you and encourage you to dig deeper, and they can figure out where you need to be. And there's so many devotionals out there that are relevant to all aspects of life. The one that I kind of been digging into is one geared towards like dads and husbands, because I'm a dad and a husband. Yeah, I got 2 crazy kids and 1 beautiful wife, and I love them to death, and I want to figure out how to continue loving them to death. And I know I've heard of people, what they'll do is they'll pick up a Bible, they'll kind of like skim through it and just go, there. All right. As soon as the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. So they turned to fight against him. Cool. How does that affect your life? How can you dig deeper into that? It's not about just flipping a page and pointing randomly. Finding ways to use scripture, use God's word to benefit you. It's not about random chance. It's if you need that help, I encourage you to, grab a devotional, grab something and help you. Dig deeper. The third thing is apply, application. I'm a firm believer of learning by doing. I remember taking driver's ed in high school, And it was not just a sit-down class, but we would actually like sign up, and during our study halls, we'd get to go drive with the instructor, and you know, and that's how we learned how to drive. You know, very easily, we could have sat there in this class, and he could have said, all right, the gas pedal's on the right, the brake is on the left, you drive going like this, and this is your blinker. Here's your license, go have fun. But I would have, you know, I might know how to drive a car. I might know, have the information in my brain of what it requires to drive a car, but there's no way I'm going to go drive a car. That would be insane. We need to be willing to do what we are told. James 1, verse 22 to 24, explains that just hearing or reading God's word is not enough. Just learning it is not enough. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Through living out God's word, we are not only gaining knowledge about it, but we learn more of its capabilities. You can't be afraid to fail. So many times the reason why we don't do is because we're afraid to fail. God doesn't fail. Yeah, you might fail, but God doesn't fail. And if you're not willing to fail, then you're not gonna learn. Because I find many times I learn a lot more from my failures than I do from my successes. You can ask my kids or my wife. So, I was very purposeful with the title of this sermon today. A new year, a new you. Sounds like a self-help book, right? It's like the mantra of New Year's Eve. I typed into Google and there's about 20,000 blog posts about how you should eat more kale and not eat red meat and eggs are bad and eggs are good and who knows anymore, but it sounds like, you know, like I said, a self-help thing. And unfortunately, we spend so much time, it seems, in the self-help section of life and not enough time in the God section of life. We're not supposed to be helping ourselves. This is not about self-help. It's about God help. All three of these resolutions, all three of these points have one thing in common. They all require God. They all require God's hand. We must confess to God our bad habits if we're going to break them. We must look to God's rewards to guide us towards good habits. And in the end, God's word is the ultimate knowledge. So let me read that last text, the initial text to you again. It's Philippians 3, 12 to 14. It says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As we move on from this year, as we say goodbye to 2017 and say hello to 2018, as we look to the future, we need to remember that the ultimate goal isn't breaking a bad habit, you know, losing weight or learning a new language. The ultimate goal is to look forward. It is the call of Jesus Christ. He should be our New Year's resolution. He is what we should strive for. He is who we need to be. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for today. I want to thank you for this time that we have together. And I thank you for being the example that we need to be on a regular basis, Lord. You are ever faithful. You are ever great. And as we look to this time to reset our lives and become better, we understand that in the end, you are the best. You are the best. So what other example should we be looking to but you? So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and understanding when we fall and for being willing to lift us up and put us back on our feet and guide us to where we need to go. And in the end, that is you. So as we look forward, remind us, Lord, to continue just to look to you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.